Exodus chapter 20. I was talking with a dear friend of more than 25 years this past week, and we were discussing the need for church involvement in discipleship, and he expressed a great need, a great desire for discipleship and accountability. He admitted that he really hasn't had that on a consistent basis for years, ever since he had really been faithfully involved in a church. But he was talking about how not having that accountability and that discipleship, it's been one of his greatest struggles, and one of the reasons that he was really going through some difficult times right now. We talked about the importance of church. We talked about the importance of having a small group of people that you can talk to about anything, and that they can pray for you, they can encourage you, they can challenge you, they can sharpen you. And we were talking about that. I often wonder, as I was visiting with him and sharing, and he knows my story pretty well because he's known me since before I was a Christian, but I often wonder, where would I be today spiritually if not for discipleship accountability groups? Because the day after I got saved, when I was in college, I started meeting with a Christian brother who ended up being the best man in our wedding, and we met every week for 3 years. And in the summertime, when I wasn't at school, when I was back home with my parents, I met with a couple other guys every week, multiple times most weeks, through each of those summers. And this pattern, I'm thankful to say, this pattern has continued for me ever since. I've always had someone, or usually a small group of people, that I could talk to about struggles, that could pray for me, that could ask me the hard questions, that could challenge me in the faith. Even during some times of transition and moving, when we were going from one place to another, I always had at least one or two guys that I could talk to on the phone every week until I would find a new group or a new accountability partner to pray for me. And when I think about the Word of God and how impossible it is for us to follow because we're sinners, we need to be reminded of two very important things. First of all, Jesus alone can save us, and He alone can enable us and can change us and equip us to be able to do what He's called us to do. We need His help always, right? We can do nothing without Jesus. But secondly, and I think we so often miss this, we think that, oh yeah, as long as I have Jesus, I'm good. But secondly, we need one another. We do. We need one another. We need discipleship relationships. We need accountability. The standard of perfect obedience is impossible because we're not perfect. And so we're gonna regularly fall short of the standard before us in God's Word. So who are you going to talk to about that? Who's going to pray for you? Who's going to encourage you when you struggle? Because as we look at Exodus chapter 20, and we think about these first two commandments we saw, right? We saw who God is and what He did for the people of Israel. He delivered them. And then we saw the command to not have any other gods and to have no idols. And we would say, okay, we've only made it through two of the top 10. And we struggle with those two at times. And we continue going, we're like, here's another one. So I think the commandment we're going to look at today, I think maybe perhaps more than any, is the one that we break the most often. And so we look at verse 7. Verse 7 in Exodus chapter 20, and it says, "Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will punish anyone who misuses His name." Father, we pray today that You would help us to understand this commandment. Help us to see what it means. Help us to see how we apply it to our lives. Help us to see that there's so many ways that we fall short. Just in this one simple sentence, there's so many ways that we fall short. And we need You, first and foremost. We need Your help. We need Your Spirit to equip and enable us to follow You according to Your Word. But Father, we need one another. We can't do this apart from discipleship and accountability and family. So Father, we pray for Your help, and we pray that You would help us to live lives of worship, to honor You, to glorify Your name. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as we think through this series and as we continue to go through the Ten Commandments, I want to continue to consider their value and their importance. Right? Let's consider the application to our lives. What do we do with God's Word here? Let's consider that they're good for us. These words from God are good for us to follow. Let's consider how Jesus alone fulfilled them perfectly, and how He has then shown us how to live them out and called us in really to a higher standard even than what we see here in Exodus chapter 20. So today we're going to look at the command, of course, this third one, do not misuse God's name. This may or may not be what you think. Oftentimes, people assume that this is just talking about using God's name like a curse word. And that's obviously included here, but it's so much more than that. Do not misuse his name. Instead, my purpose in the message today is that you will glorify God's name. This must be done with our actions and with our words. Specifically here, as we consider the third word from the Lord, the third commandment, we might assume that this is just an emphasis on our words. Don't misuse or don't take the Lord's name in vain. We think that's just talking about our speech, and that's obviously part of it. But it's also our actions playing a role in our ability or our calling or our expectation to obey this command. So let us seek to glorify God with our lives. That's what we see here in this word. And so I want to talk about a few applications to the third commandment. There are many things that we could discuss from all over the scriptures this morning. I struggled this week because there was about 100 verses besides outside of Exodus 20 here that just were coming to mind. I'm like, wow, this could apply. So it's really hard to say, okay, how do we get this into 30 minutes? So I promise to have you out before the Chiefs game at 3:30. But I want to cover, so in the time that we have, I want to cover a few basic applications that I think kind of cover the bases. I hope it's general enough that we'll cover the bases, but specific enough that we can understand and apply this to our lives. What should we do in response to God's word here in Exodus 20, verse 7? How do we apply the command to not misuse his name? What is he talking about when he says, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God? How do we obey this command? The first application, I think, that really kind of covers it well, generally speaking, is to honor the Lord. Right? To misuse God's name is to not honor him. Whether through words or actions, to misuse the name of God is to not honor him. So don't misuse his name, but rather honor his name. And by honoring his name, honor him. Realize that this is about more than simply the name Lord in God. We see that and we just think it has to do with how we speak his name. And it does. It applies to that, obviously. But it's more than just about the name Lord and God. This is about all that is connected to his name. Who he is. God is worthy of the highest honor. The highest honor. Consider for a moment, who gives someone a name? Who gave you your name? Your parents, right? Anybody in here name themselves? Oh, really? What's your name, Brooklyn? Okay, so you decided your name, or did your parents name you? No, your parents named you. I know that for a fact. Now, the reality is you can change your name legally later, but you're given, that's why they say, what's your given name? Because it was given to you. Nobody says, I don't know of anybody that gives birth to a child and then says, we're not going to name them, we're going to let them decide someday. So what, like 3 years old, and then they can figure it out and say something? But so you're given a name, but think about it, not God. God names himself. He does it right here. He names himself. And in doing this, God reveals who he is. Nobody else can give him a name. He names himself. He's eternal. Like the song we sang, the beginning and the end. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He names himself. I think we fail to realize just how big that is. God names himself. He reveals his supreme authority in giving himself his name. He reveals his supreme power and his control and his sovereignty. He is worthy of honor and glory. God wants us to respect and to honor his name. And when we misuse his name, not only we do that when we speak things that dishonor his name, but if we fail to live a life of integrity and purity, we misuse or we dishonor his name. So to use his name in an empty manner, like saying, oh my God, without actually praying to him, or saying, dear Lord, without truly seeking him, that's to misuse the name of God. That's using the Lord's name in vain without meaning. Using his name in an empty manner. Right? That does not honor him, but that dishonors him. The same is true when using his name as a curse word. The same is true when we declare his name in a song while actually thinking about the cares of the world or something else. I was guilty of that this very morning when we were singing. I caught myself thinking about something else, and I thought, I'm using God's name in vain right here as I'm getting ready to preach on it. Because we're so caught up in ourselves and our world, and we speak the name of God, or we sing the name of God, and we're not even thinking about what we're singing. That's using God's name in vain. That's misusing his name. And how much more so when we live our lives and we claim to follow Jesus and we don't live accordingly. When we profess to be a child of God and yet we live in continued disobedience to his word, that's misusing his name. That's not honoring him. In other words, it's not just a matter of how we speak his name, it's how we carry his name with our everyday lives. If you call yourself a Christian, but then you live contrary to God's word, you're not exalting him with your life. Those are all ways that we fail to honor the Lord, but rather we misuse his name. May God help us to honor his name, to honor him. Just an example, I mean, Micah 6:8 tells us how to do that. Mankind, he has told you what it is that is good and what it is the Lord requires of you to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. Kids, what was this morning's Bible story about in family groups? Anybody remember? What was the lesson on this morning? Serenity? Abel. Yeah, Cain and Abel, right? And so what was the problem with Cain's offering to the Lord? Anybody remember? Cain had an offering. Yes, Isabella, I saw your hand first. He only gave God the leftovers. George, were you going to say something else? What? Abel, yeah, Abel gave the best, right? Yeah, so Cain gave the leftovers, Abel gave the best. Cain didn't give God his best. And so in doing that, what was he doing? He was not honoring the Lord. What a great example of what it is to honor the Lord, Abel giving God his best, giving the first, and then Cain, who's like, yeah, I don't really want this. Yeah, this old ratty couch, I'll give that to the youth group. They can have it. Right? Let's just give God our leftovers. I don't want to give my best. I'm going to give the leftovers. Please understand, we're grateful for the couches. I don't know if anybody here gave any of those couches. So if you did, I'm sorry. The youth love them. But so often when it comes to our walks with God, our time, our priorities, our commitments, we're like, yeah, if I've got any time left, I'll give it to him. And God just becomes like another activity. It doesn't honor the Lord. God's not just another activity. He's the king of the universe. He's the one who made us. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who sent his son to die for us. He's not just some leftover responsibility or leftover activity. He's the Lord of the universe. And so when we think about Cain and Abel and the difference between those offerings and one honored God and one didn't, when we think about the commandment, do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, he'll punish anyone who misuses his name. We have to think about, are you giving God your best? Or are you just giving him your leftovers? Are you seeking to honor him? Honor the Lord. Secondly, I think another important application here is to tell the truth. And we don't think of this when we read this, but so to love and follow the Lord is to obey the Lord, right? To honor his name is to obey him, which means to honor his name. And that includes, especially if you bear his name, that it, as a follower of Jesus, that includes telling the truth. We'll see this more because this is the ninth commandment. So I think it's interesting here that I think there's some application here in two of the Ten Commandments that God gave Moses on Mount Sinai. So in the ninth commandment, we'll see, do not lie. And that's in an application of how you love your neighbor. So remember, Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments in Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the greatest and most important commandment. The second, he said, is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So he sums up the first four in love God. He sums up the last six in love your neighbor as yourself. So we'll see that later. But it also applies here to loving and honoring God. In other words, when we are to tell the truth, not just for the sake of others, the ninth commandment, which is important, but even more importantly, we tell the truth to honor the Lord. See, the word here in verse 7, when it says misuse, or some of your translations will say, take the Lord's name in vain, that word, depending on your translation, whether it's misuse or in vain, it means the same thing. It's talking about lying or being deceitful or even meaningless. So it's talking about dishonesty or emptiness. And so this applies to honoring the Lord, and it applies to telling the truth. It applies to both. So for example, Leviticus 19:12 applies it this way. He says, you must not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God. I am Yahweh. So how does he say we dishonor his name? If we swear by his name, but we're lying about it. If we don't tell the truth, tell the truth or you dishonor the name of the Lord, especially if you claim to follow him. And also, another application that Jesus gives us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, is to not use his name to gain leverage. In the application here, specifically if you look at verses 33 to 37, but in verse 37, he says, let your word yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything more than this is from the evil one. In other words, you're trying to convince someone you're telling them the truth. So you say, oh, I swear by God's name, or I swear to God, and we try to use God's name as leverage because we can't be trusted to speak truthfully by our own word. That's a problem. That's misusing God's name. We disobey the third commandment to not misuse the name of the Lord when we tell a lie or when we try to use God's name for leverage. Don't profess him while disobeying his word. Honor him and tell the truth. You don't just hurt others when you lie. You hurt yourself and you misuse and dishonor the name of the Lord. So back to those questions I was asking earlier, Who's praying for you? Because if we really think about, okay, when's the last time I used God's name in an empty fashion? I don't know, 10 minutes ago? When's the last time that my lifestyle didn't elevate the name of Christ above all other names? Maybe this morning, maybe last week, maybe yesterday. So who's praying for you in this? Who's holding you accountable? Otherwise, how can we sincerely be intentional about honoring the Lord and living lives of truth if we're not intentional about having others walk alongside us in that? Because we know we all struggle. None of us could sit here this morning and say, no, this is not a problem for me at all. No, we all struggle with this, and so what are we doing about it? So if your argument is, when you think about having somebody to hold you accountable, and to be involved in some intentional discipleship relationship, if your argument is, I just don't have time for something like that right now, is that really true? I mean, is that really valid? Is that really sufficient to say, I don't have time for something like that? Because what is there better for us to make time for than being intentional about a relationship with Jesus? What is more important than that? And yet, think about it, we put everything else above that. And we're like, yeah, if I've got extra time, maybe I'll do that. No. What's more important for eternity than our relationship with Jesus? If your argument is, nah, I'm good, well, perhaps that's the most arrogant thing someone could say. Because none of us is good. The Bible says, no, not one. Not one of us is good enough to not need accountability and discipleship. To say we don't need people to challenge us and sharpen us and hold us accountable is not only wrong, it dishonors the Lord because it isn't truthful. So just a couple examples here in Hebrews chapter 3. It says, watch out, brothers. Watch out, brothers, so that there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that departs from the living God, but encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. So the writer of Hebrews is saying there's people that profess faith in Jesus, but then they go away, proving themselves to not be followers of Jesus. So let's not be hardened by that deception, that sin. I mean, this right here, this is about accountability and discipleship, Hebrews chapter 3. We see great accountability and discipleship in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 to 25, really verses 19 to 25. Put that on your notes, I think, for a reference. I encourage you to check that out later. James chapter 5, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The urgent request of a righteous person is very powerful in its effect. Honor the Lord and tell the truth. And when you struggle, because we all do, talk to somebody about it. Somebody that loves Jesus and will not just say, ah, it's all right. We all sin. Don't worry about it. No, somebody that will pray for you and encourage you and challenge you and ask you the hard questions. The third thing I want you to notice then is consider the cost. He said right here in verse 7, the Lord will punish anyone who misuses his name. We saw before last week in verses 5 and 6, we saw that it doesn't just affect us, this affects generations to come when we disobey God's word, because it sets a pattern in motion that is hard to break for our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren. They see, oh, dad did it this way, grandpa did it this way, great-grandpa did it this way, well, I guess I'll do it this way. And that pattern continues unless somebody repents and turns to the Lord. There's consequences. What happens if we obey God's word? What happens if we disobey God's word? Consider the cost and understand the truth of God's word and the promises of God. Right? The cost of obeying the Lord might be suffering now. For most Christians throughout Christian history, to obey the Lord, the cost of obeying the Lord is suffering. Because the world doesn't want what the Lord calls us to. So the cost of obeying the Lord is suffering now, but it's life later. That's God's plan, by the way, for you. His perfect plan, we know, is that we have a perfect relationship with Him. But we know the reality is that we all sin. We all have ruined that perfect relationship. So what is God's plan now? Perhaps it's seen best in 2 Corinthians 3 to 5. The plan now is that God grows you through suffering, that you're going to obey His word, and as a result of obeying His word and following Him, people are going to mock you. People are going to lose their jobs for following Jesus. People are going to be told that they're rejected by their families because they follow Jesus. People are going to be killed because they follow Jesus. The cost of obedience is suffering now, but it's life to come. Because sin has distorted God's perfect plan, and all of a sudden, because of sin, what's the result? It's brokenness. Our disobedience to God's word and that brokenness shows itself in things like dishonoring His name and failing to tell the truth. We're broken, all of us. So the cost of disobeying the Lord, so people will say, well, because of our brokenness, we're prone and to go in all these wrong directions, and we might say things like, well, if I disobey God's word and I do it this way, I'll get what I want. And it might. So by disobeying the Lord, you might get what you want now. You might not, because there's no guarantees, there's no promises. But by disobeying God's word, you might get what you want now. But the eternal consequences are devastating. Judgment awaits those who rebel against God's word. Hell is the promise to come for those who are in sin and rebellion to God's word. Of course, we all sin, and so we all deserve such judgment. And so are you looking to the one who did this perfectly while taking our sin upon Himself on the cross? Are you looking to Him? The gospel is the answer, because Jesus alone saves. He is the one who fulfilled God the Father's law perfectly. He and He alone. And He took our place when He died on the cross for our sins. And then when He rose from the dead, He defeated sin and death forever. So now the Bible tells us that if you repent and you believe in Jesus alone for forgiveness of sins to save you and to make you right with God, that's exactly what He does. He will. Because we've only made it through 3 of the 10 commandments, and we all would have to say, I don't think we've gone through today, or at least this week, without disobeying one, if not all 3. And so the law points us to Jesus, the only one who did it perfectly, the only one who can make us right with God. It's the only way to be counted as if you followed God's law is to trust the one who did, Jesus Christ. Right? You and I can't do it, but we can turn to the one who did do it, and He will restore your relationship with God. Yes, we're still broken because we're still sinners. We're not there yet. But if you turn to Jesus, you begin to recover and to pursue that perfect plan and purpose that God has for your life. You're going to desire to honor the Lord. That's one of the evidences. If you've come to know Jesus and you begin to recover and pursue that plan that God has for you, you desire to honor Him. You're going to desire to tell the truth. You're going to desire to embrace the cost of following Jesus. You're going to say, you know what? I don't care of the consequences. If God's word calls me to obedience, I'm going to obey. No matter what my friends at school say, no matter what my boss at work says, no matter what my family thinks, I'm going to obey the word of God, no matter the cost. Followers of Jesus are changed. The Holy Spirit equips you and enables you to follow after Him, and you are no longer content to live in disobedience to God's word. Does that describe you today? Discontent with sin and growing in your desire to obey God according to His word? If not, please turn to Jesus today. Turn to him today. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. I don't care what the Pope said. The Pope's wrong. There's one name that saves, and his name is Jesus. Because you know why I know that? Because Jesus said that. When he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way. It's Jesus alone. So just like the song we sang earlier, blessed be the name of the Lord no matter what. No matter what, blessed be the name of the Lord. Think about it. In the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow, blessed be his name. But on the flip side of that, when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be his name. When the sun's shining down on me, the world's all as it should be, blessed be his name. But on the road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be his name. Because every blessing he pours out will turn back to praise. But when the darkness closes in, will we? I mean, let's be serious for a second. When the darkness closes in, will we say it and will we mean it? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's worthy. He's worthy. Honor his name. Tell the truth. Consider the consequences and give him the praise that he's due. Remember, I said my purpose today is that you would glorify God's name. Where are you falling short? And what needs to change so that you'll be more consistent and faithful to honor the name of the Lord? What needs to change in your life? Is it your conversations? Is it your prayer life? Is it your worship? Your priorities? Maybe a lack of priority for worship? Is it your schedule? Is it your thought life? What needs to change? Just as with every commandment from God, we all break this, right? We all need to be reminded to continually look to the only one who is perfect, to look to Jesus. And so if you haven't yet turned to Jesus to forgive you and to change you and to make you right with God, will you do that this morning before you leave this place? Will you surrender your all to him? And if you are walking with Jesus, are you prioritizing helping others to walk with Jesus? Do you have people holding you accountable? Are you holding others accountable? Are you being intentional with discipleship relationships? Because to glorify God's name is not possible if we're not helping others to walk with Jesus and glorify his name. Don't misuse his name. Follow him and help others to follow him. Father, that's our prayer today, that you would help us to follow you according to your word. We don't decide what that means based on our schedules, our traditions, our desires. Your word tells us what that means. That if anyone wants to come after you, we must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you. That means a willingness to give up all things for the sake of the gospel. And yet so often, Lord, we're tempted to not even give up our hobbies if it means prioritizing our relationship with you. And so instead of doing what honors you, we misuse your name through our words, through our actions, through our commitments. Father, please help us. Please help us when we fall short. Because none of us is there yet. We all sin. We all struggle. We all need that accountability. So help us, Father, right now to cry out to you, to really put you first, to really prioritize knowing you better and helping others to know you better. And Father, for those who are here today who don't yet know you, please give them the desire to cry out to you. If they haven't yet turned from sin and asked you to forgive them and to change them and to make them right with you, please let them not be content to leave this room, to leave this building without pulling someone aside and saying, hey, would you pray with me? I want to give my life to Jesus. Please let that be the desire of every heart here today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.